Hello and welcome back to the Foxy Property Chat podcast. My name is Cody. I'm here with co-owner Jake. Jake, how are you today?
How are you, Cody? I am well, thank you.
And the other half, Phoebe, how are you?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
How are you, Cody?
I didn't say, did I? Yeah, I'm excellent. Excellent. Had a couple nights of full night's sleep. And as you guys know, with kids, that's you just got to take that and run.
You do.
So happy days.
You definitely do.
It's not always guaranteed.
No, it is not. So let's just start things off with a bit of a chit chat, a bit of a update. So we're sitting here in the first week of March. I would definitely say the start of the year is well and truly over. So how was the start of the year?
Still first quarter, but yeah, it probably hasn't changed too much from what we said last week. It's been a little bit quieter this year than what we would normally expect, and that's market related. We're still getting a lot of inbound inquiry, and we're still getting a lot of work out, but at the same time, where that work's coming from has shifted a little bit. So Gold Coast for us, so in Brisbane, we've always done work on the Gold Coast, but predominantly being Brisbane, we're seeing a much larger proportion of our work coming from Gold Coast at the moment because the market down there is still quite hot.
Performing very well.
Things are still selling quite quickly. I don't know, what else should we have?
Yeah, so the conversations that I'm having with a lot of the agents are centered around lack of, inquiry on their part, and the inquiry that is coming through a hesitancy to come to the market, just because the unknown factors, I guess, when you come to rate rises, everything like that. Interestingly, I literally just got a phone call from an agent who has had a couple of listings that went live hot market and it just hadn't sold, so now we're looking at a very significant difference between what they're expecting then to now. Like the Gold Coast market's staying strong, the Sydney market's also staying quite strong, and in Brisbane it's not quite where it was. So it's a conversation across the board, regardless whether or not the agents are dealing in high-end or standard level properties, if we're going units, townhouses or acreage properties. I'm having the same conversations across the board with all the agents we work with. So very interesting.
Hmm. Thank you for that. All right. Biggest misconceptions about staging homes. Like, if you ever just chatting to someone who doesn't really know the concept or is new to the concept, and you're just chatting for a while after a few drinks, what do they sort of think it is? Or someone who's new to it, they just get it wrong.
First thing that comes to my mind is the type of property that benefits most from staging. If you haven't come across it before, tell me if you disagree with this, but I think a lot of people think it's for high-end homes. It's the more expensive, glamorous homes that need staging. And obviously, from our point of view, the properties that benefit the most are often that kind of mid-market ones, the ones that might not shine on them by themselves, where there's a higher volume of that type of property where you're trying to stand out.
Yep, I agree.
Anything else?
I guess as far as a career perspective, something that we've found a lot of when somebody comes and would like to start a career of property stylist is how more, I guess, physically demanding it is. That's not just about fluffing cushions, there's a whole lot more involved. Mm. But a lot of, we can say thank you to social media and TV, a lot of our clients now have a very good understanding of what it is and how it works, and they may be skeptical about the outcomes and the benefits. They're converted once they see, but TV has helped us come a long, long way. There's less, uncertainty over what it is.
Mm. Comment on Instagram there.
Shane and Jane, same in New Zealand. We are steady, but third down from last year. Yeah, so normally we would see in February, February in 1 year, we would sort of be replicating the numbers from the October of the year before. And we aren't seeing those numbers as far as our growth goes. We're seeing a steady, lovely stream of numbers coming through, which is very, very good for our sanity.
but not the growth.
But not for the growth. And that's okay. That's for us.
We're
all good.
Cool. Bianca Neal asks, you've answered this before, but when you first started out, how many jobs were you doing per week/month, and how many were you hoping to have per week, per month?
What we were hoping to do is probably not something that we can answer. I don't really remember.
I don't think we had an expectation, really, did we?
No, it was just
as many as possible.
I guess. We were trying to get the growth. Yeah, we were never kind of getting a couple of jobs in and saying, well, that'll do us. It was always, who else can we meet? Who else can you, Phoebe, have coffee with? Who else can we send a,
I would,
you know,
say at the start, it was as far as a measure of how I felt I was going, was less of a success-based thing in my mind about how many jobs I locked in versus how many agents I actually got to go and have a conversation with, sit down. And at the start, I was doing interviews and popping there in a digital interview up on our social media and blog. So that's felt like a measure of success for me as well at the start, as well as the install.
In terms of how many we were doing, I mean, it grew quite quickly, so it depends on when you look at it, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but I know when, I think your first job that you ever did was in April, and I think you might have done 2 that month, and then it went to 4, and I think by October, which was generally the busy period, I think it was about 17 at that point. I might be a little bit out on that, but, and then it went back down, so I mean, you can figure out per week what that means. I can't remember. Yeah, I know we've done a couple of videos on this, but the numbers always, I have to go and remind myself because it was a good 5 years ago now.
Yeah, there's a video pinned to the top of the YouTube channel, the story of Foxy Home Staging, and I know that we covered off some numbers in the early days there. Yeah. Home at number 11 asks, can you please tell me what is the stuffing inside the cushions you use to decorate a couch with? I really like the way they sit after being chopped.
So the ones that you're talking about, they're the feather fill cushions. So when you go to a Pillow Talk, most of Adairs now come, their range comes with a feather fill or a down fill insert. At Pillow Talk, you can ask and then we can upgrade you for $10. Otherwise, you can purchase them from IKEA. IKEA's, it honestly depends on the quality as to how well they sit. So if I was buying them from IKEA, I would be purchasing 2 to put into the same insert so they sit as upright. I don't like a slanting cushion. I like a cushion that sits upright. So that's what we do. Feather fill.
Shemrock Hill Design. How do you manage your removal schedule or logistics schedule? Who takes care of that so it doesn't fall off?
We've kind of talked about probably a while ago now, a couple of years, that this business really, when you get to this kind of scale where you can have your own warehouse and you have a logistics team, it becomes a logistics business as much as anything else. And so much of, you know, what we're able to do as a business and as a team relies on the, you know, efficient running of the logistics team. The schedule is built around what the trucks can do. Obviously we're doing installs and we're doing pack-ups and we're trying to coordinate all of that across 3 trucks and across, you know, geographically across Brisbane and Gold Coast and everything. But at the end of the day, what we as a business are able to do, the kind of the cap or, you know, what it is that restricts us is how much we can get done from a logistics point of view with the trucks, right? So in terms of the schedule and how we do that, that's probably where you can talk a bit more detail, but Phoebe puts together a bit of the schedule based on what jobs need to happen that day, you know, factoring in things like photography when all of that's happening, what maybe restrictions we have with access. Well, you know, some we might, like even tomorrow we have one where it has to happen later in the day, so we've got to factor all those things in. How far we're travelling around Brisbane and where it makes sense to try and reduce travel time for the trucks, all of those things factor into what Phoebe puts together.
Yep, so short answer, I look after it.
So it's just done, man. You'll do a draft.
Yeah.
Based on what you know, furniture needs to come from the warehouse, where we can do a pack up and take that, some of that into an install, all of those things. So Phoebe does it and then we kind of, I guess, refine it to... We do kind of, I might be giving more detail than we need for an answer like this, but you know, we'll break it down into 15-minute blocks throughout the day and we'll assign time for an install. How long do we need on site? How long do we need for a pack up? And therefore you can kind of build out the day and see where we're going to be for each job.
We're quite succinct with it because the logistics team's quarterly bonus are built around achieving the schedule and making sure they hit it within a certain time frame. So we do have to make sure that there is a defined process to it. So it's something that we've tried to very much figure out, and I know there's going to be a better way and something that we always will improve, but yeah, it's a whole lot of stuff going on in the back of my mind when I'm doing it, so.
And I will mention that I'm looking to do an episode, a Foxy TV episode around the importance of the logistics and being efficient in the coming weeks. So keep an eye out for that one. Can you please explain what the guys do at a job? Obviously, they bring the furniture in, but what, if anything else, apart from, moving the furniture?
Happy
for me. All these questions for you to answer today.
Hey, you told them about the feather-filled cushions. So there you go.
That's what you can answer.
So, it depends, but we have, you know, how long we've got on site. But
Do you do on a site, Jeff?
So, in general, if I'm part of the logistics team, because often I'll go as an extra person and help on both sides of it, but the guys are obviously unloading a truck at an install and taking everything into the house. The stylists will often help with some of the smaller things like the bags of linen. They'll sometimes help with chairs or bedsides depending on timing and who's under the kind of time crunch or time pressure. But they will get everything into place. So everything, you know, in terms of layout, they'll work with the stylist to make sure that the sofas are in the right place, the rugs are laid out. They'll put the mattresses on the beds, on the bed bases or frames. Basically their job is that when they leave, everything in the house is already where it needs to be, so the stylists don't have to move things once they're gone. If there's any other things that the stylists might need help with, like maybe the some of the artwork is kind of a two-person job to hang, they'll ask for help there. Maybe the walls are a bit tricky and need a little bit of help there as well. Anything else that I'm missing?
No, I would say that just depends on the day as to what the time crunch is, but all of the boys, well, we're trying to get to all the boys, are trained up to be able to hang the artwork. Cody, you know how to make the beds. It just depends on how long people have been here and when, at what point they're going to be at the install. Ideally, we could have the boys stay on site. You guys can do an entire install and I'll come and do a check.
Yep.
So it's just having that awareness of how to pull together an install, basically, I think. But they definitely couldn't do a selection, but they could definitely pull off an install.
Yep.
If needed.
Yeah. India Dunn asks, when will you be hiring?
I literally had her profile open and I was going to reach out to her today. I would say never stop recruiting. So whilst we don't advertise actively, if the right person comes by and I love them for their personality as far as a good fit for the team, I would offer them a job. So always worth applying. If you're feeling like it's a good time, definitely apply.
How do you know whether to style an outdoor space? For example, if there are multiple outdoor spaces, do you stage them all?
That really depends on return on investment for a client and as to whether or not it's... So yesterday I went to one. We have a feature outdoor space on the left-hand side, and then we've got another outdoor space, which could be an outdoor space, except it's up against a sheer rock, like a cliff that we're bordering on. And you can't possibly put on anything on the cliff, so we don't want to draw attention. We don't necessarily even want people to go outside. So we don't want to make it look like an inviting space. So for example, in that property, we aren't doing two outdoors. We're trying to get everyone to go out to the other side where it's far more appealing and looks a lot prettier. Mm. In other situations, it's the same as bedrooms. We don't necessarily style all of the bedrooms. Each outdoor space we style comes in at around $350. So it's... Sometimes budget needs to dictate what areas we focus on. I like to style as a minimum the master bedroom, living, and all the living areas, and generally that includes those outdoor spaces. I don't like to leave them out completely because they are incredibly important here in Queensland. Hmm. But again, it comes down to conversations with the client and the agent.
Why don't you use... Oh, you got a question there?
Do you have a signature style when styling? No, so someone's just asked if we have a signature style when we're styling homes. We do not have a signature style. However, I'd say we don't, because we style very much for the homes and how they need to be presented. We have such an array of architecture and styles of homes here in Brisbane. We can literally go from door to door in one street, in one neighbourhood, and we can go across 6 or 7 different styles of homes. So... We definitely don't, because to get the best out of the sale price, we definitely need to style the home for how it needs to be presented individually. If you ask a photographer, though, if they can pinpoint a home that's been styled by Foxy, they would be able to. And that's down to how much lifestyle styling we incorporate into a property. So we bring a lot of accessories, bring a lot of extras, San Pellegrino bottles, all those types of things. And apparently... that pinpoints a Foxy property, which I'm quite proud of.
There you go.
We don't have a style per se, but they can pick it.
Yep. Why don't you use the bed or the garment steamers on the beds anymore?
Good question.
Have you seen our beds? They've been looking amazing.
No, because we did for a long time.
We did.
We decided.
We did, and then new ideas as people come through the team, bringing different ideas, different experiences. The water spray bottle, something that I was really against at the very start, because in my head, spraying water constantly onto to different linens and stuff would create mold. Turns out I'm wrong. I'll very clearly admit it. And it's actually a very, very efficient, very good way to making beds look steam. Spraying them with a very fine mist, straightening them out and making sure they all are looking crease free, and they stay that way, look perfect. So the one, there is an Instagram photo that I put up yesterday, absolutely perfect execution by Caitlin. And that bed looks phenomenal and it's just with a spray bottle of water.
Is that, does that only work because of our climate, or would it work anyway?
I've got no idea.
Yeah.
But it works very well here. Works in winter.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay. Under and overrated. This a bit different. We're doing a this or that edition.
Oh, so right. Tell me which struggle one you enough prefer. With.
Yeah. No, this is easier. So it's just one or the other. Art Deco or Deco. How do you say that? Deco. Art Deco. Oh. And or Coastal.
Coastal. Which one? As if you like, I think.
Yeah,
coastal.
Jake's coastal. Jake,
you've got to have a you're like, oh, whichever. No.
I'm not strongly opinionated on that one, but I'll go coastal. Yeah.
Okay. apples, green or red?
Green.
Red.
Coffee.
I don't really eat apples. Anyway.
Coffee in a mug or a takeaway cup?
Takeaway. I prefer it in takeaway.
Not from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, not the weird new lids that they put on.
The environmentally friendly ones. Yeah, I prefer it in a mug.
Prefer it in a mug?
Yep. Okay. You come up with weird questions.
Yeah, well, you like this one. You have the choice to take the first or the fifth penalty in a penalty shootout to win the World Cup football or soccer for those Toronto people. Which one are you taking? The first one or the fifth one? And most penalties will be five penalties. Fifth. So,
because maybe you don't get to, or because you get
no,
to be the winner.
You get to be the winner.
Got but what if you miss it?
You don't. You got to be confident. Got to believe in yourself.
I don't believe in myself. I'll go first. Yeah. I feel so sorry for those people I see that miss it.
Well, the best player either goes first or fifth.
Well, then I'm first.
So. Phone call or text message?
Text.
Text message.
Yeah. But we were talking this morning that things can get lost over text, can't they?
True.
Like, there's no emotion behind the voice.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that video I sent you?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Also, Phoebe doesn't tend to read beyond the most recent. So if I send her three messages, only the most recent one gets read.
Yeah, right.
That's because he sends me...
So with Phoebe, it's phone call.
No, I'm sure this is a thing with more people than just us. One conversation on text message, another conversation on Facebook, another conversation on Slack. Like, there's like 50 messages and I get... Mm. Anyway.
That's because she doesn't read them. If I put them all in one place,
oh,
I've
my
got
goodness.
To spread them out. Let's
marriage counselling.
Okay, last one. This is a bit different. If you had to listen to one song on repeat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Not The Wiggles.
I don't have a good answer for that.
I'm going to have to come back to you next week.
All right.
Yep, I need thinking time.
All right, I'm not going to forget.
Okay.
Follow
I'm I definitely will, and it'll come as a surprise to me next week.
Well, that's on you.
Good question.
Well, that's all I had. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thanks, Cody.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for playing along, and we will see you.
We'll answer that one next week.
We'll answer it next week?
No, yeah, about trends and colours and stuff in Australia. Because the answer is yes, but let me get back to you on it.
Sounds good. All right, thanks again, and we will catch you next week.